This is Colorado Matters. I'm Elaine Grant, in for Ryan Warner. Nearly half of all donated organs come from living donors. Until now, hospitals didn't necessarily keep track of those donors after surgery, and so knowledge about the long-term risks of giving away your organ is spotty. But federal rules passed this month should change that. Brad Kornfeld of Englewood is a living organ donor, and he advocated for those new rules. CPR's Andrea Dukakis asked him to describe what it was like to donate a kidney to his father.
In our case, my father was quite ill at the time and very weak. And literally the next day after he received my kidney, I remember him walking down the hall, and his color was much better, his energy was so much better, yet I felt like I got run over by a truck. It was the first 3 or 4 days is very painful and very challenging, and that is so offset by how wonderful you feel about saving someone else's life and looking that person in the eye and seeing the immediate impact that you've had on them. And I wouldn't hesitate to do it all over again.
Though it is true that your dad didn't survive for that long after you donated.
Unfortunately, he passed away about a year after I donated. The kidney was working fine. He developed pneumonia and was not able to overcome that. And I remember meeting with him the day before he died, and we were talking about the experience that we shared. And I told him that I didn't regret it and that I would do it all over again. And I think looking back on that year, it was a choice of me helping him and watching him enjoy that year, or me doing nothing and watching him deteriorate and go through dialysis. And looking back, I don't regret my decision at all.
Tell me, when you first started thinking about donating a kidney to your dad, did you have any concerns once you made that initial decision?
Well, I wanted to make sure that by helping my father, I wasn't hurting myself. I was in my mid-30s, a father of two at the time. And while I wanted to help save his life, I didn't want to do anything that would compromise my health moving forward. And at that time, it was very difficult to really get a handle on what the health risks were long-term, and somewhat to a lesser degree short-term as well.
The problem you had was you really didn't know where to go for good information.
That's true. And that did make the decision both more difficult and more frightening. My transplant center had information about their patients, but there was no national data available to tell me what the risks were and how likely they were for me. I knew that the risk was low, and I know that organ donors can become hypertensive, that their blood pressure can rise. There is a chance that you would need your own kidney to be transplanted in the future, not because you're more likely to have kidney failure as an organ donor, but because you now have one kidney and not two, so you don't really have a backup system in place. But to a certain degree, I had to develop my own comfort level that I'm not going to have detailed information. I'm just going to know that the risk is low. And looking back, I don't want future organ donors to be as unsettled as I was.
This lack of information actually pushed you to become more involved. And we come to this month where you successfully pushed for new rules for hospitals.
Well, there has been a voluntary rule that hospitals may gather information from their living donors. But because there was no requirement, a lot of the hospitals were really putting very little effort into that initiative. Now they need to make a much more serious effort to track living donors after their transplant for up to 2 years. So all hospital programs around the country will be required to obtain both medical data as well as other information about a minimum of 70% of their living donors to really assemble a comprehensive picture about what happens to living donors in those first 2 years after their surgery.
Whenever you have new rules like these, hospitals are not always happy. It means additional resources. It means more staff, especially at a time when healthcare costs are rising.
Well, I think it's something that needs to be accounted for, but I also think that it's important enough that it should be part of the cost of donation. And the reality is that there are quite a few of our nation's best transplant hospitals who are already doing this. They're not unprofitable. They haven't had to shut down. So it can be done, and it's being done by the best centers. The reality is they need to fully integrate this into their program, but it's not insurmountable.
Do you think there are people who decide not to donate, not to become a living donor, because they just can't find good information on, you know, what could result?
I think that's very true, because people are looking for information, and if they don't have the scientific data, like I didn't, they still want to look into it. And so in my case, I turned to the internet. And the internet is not the most reliable place for medical information. I went into chat rooms and was reading about other living donors' experiences and really hearing about outcomes that did not go well. But it turns out that those outcomes were very rare, but I didn't know that. And so I do think it deters a lot of people from moving forward because they cannot truly understand how low the risk is and assess it for themselves. And I think the implementation of this rule will significantly change that.
How do we know that the risks are low if not enough information is being gathered?
Well, the hospitals themselves have tracked their patients, so there is that data. It's never been accumulated and assembled. It's never been as comprehensive. So we probably know more about some of the bad outcomes than we do about the good outcomes. If someone has done well, like myself, but hasn't been tracked, that's some of the information that's missing. We do know, of course, when a patient is readmitted to the hospital or something goes wrong, but we need the context to put that in to understand how common that really is.
And donations from living donors are off right now. Some people say that's because of the economy.
Living donations are slightly down, that's true, and I think the economy could be a factor because you do have to take time off from work. In some cases, you might have to travel, but I think over time, that's going to rebound. As more information becomes available about donation, my hope is that more people will choose to donate. But I also hope in the long run that living donation won't be necessary, that there won't be a waiting list where people have to turn to someone who's alive to provide a new organ to a recipient.
Right now, if everyone decided that once they died, they would donate organs, there would be enough to go around for those who needed them.
I don't know if that would take the waiting list to zero, but to be a deceased organ donor, you have to die in a certain way. So not everybody who passes away is a candidate to become an organ donor. That said, if more people signed up to be organ donors when they pass away, that would certainly increase the supply of organs and would decrease the need for living donors to have to step up to donate an organ. In Colorado, our donor registry, which is largely run through the driver's license offices, has a very high registration rate of about 65%. That said, there certainly is room for improvement for more people to sign up to become organ donors when they pass away.
Not a pleasant thought, but 20 years down the road, you need a new kidney, and your son is considering doing this and wants to do it. What do you want for him that you didn't have?
Well, certainly more information, which is a lot of why I have become involved. I'd like him to have a better understanding as to what the risks are. I'd like there to be advances in science, of course, where his recovery would be quicker and he would experience less pain and the success rate would improve. My hope, of course, is that we get to a point scientifically where there isn't the need for a living organ donor. But if we do reach that point, I think a lot of the work that I've been involved in and a lot of the work that's being done nationally is only making it better for living donors. And I would expect that that would continue.
Brad, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Brad Kornfeld lives in Englewood.